Lachlan Harvey and Sam Martin from Goldsborough Financial Services join us right now. Gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome. How are you both?
Good afternoon, Pilko.
That's a leading question these days when you come up to somebody and say, G'day, mate, how are you? Now, listen,
there's
a swagger questions. The Centrelink changes, tell us about those and when will they be implemented? What's that all about?
Well, I suppose if we can concentrate on the sort of positive things rather than the negatives,
yeah.
There's been plenty of negative things to talk about, particularly in relation to investment markets, but there are also some positive things. For instance, the people that are about to get their $750 stimulus payment, that hasn't happened just yet. People will be waiting for those payments from the 1st of April. $750 to people that are age pensioners, people on Newstart allowance, people that have a low-income concession card or a Commonwealth Seniors Health Card. They're all going to get a stimulus package so they can put their thinking caps on about what best to do with that $750.
And that's going to be an excellent kick along for the economy, Pilko. I mean, 6 million people receiving that $750, that's definitely going to help the economy along.
Gentlemen, an email from Milo along those very lines. He said, will pensioners receive this $750 government handout?
They definitely will, and there's going to be a lot more pensioners receiving the $750 than Newstart recipients. In my opinion, it would be better if Newstart recipients received more because they're more likely to spend the money than a pensioner. A pensioner may not necessarily go and spend the money straight away. They have other sources of income. But Newstart recipients, you give them money, they're going to spend it straight away.
This is from Craig, sends us an email, gentlemen. He says, as an age pensioner, will he still be asset tested even though his stocks have kind of fallen through the floor?
Hey, that is a great point because there are a lot of people out there that are not receiving the full age pension, but rather a part age pension. And most of those people, not all, but most of those people are assessed under the assets test. Some are assessed under the income test, but far more people are assessed under the assets test. Now, under the assets test, if your investments drop by, let's use a figure, let's say $10,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you should be able to get an extra $30 a fortnight in age pension. And I know that there are a lot of people out there whose investments have dropped by $10,000, $20,000, $100,000. There are a lot of people out there that might be missing out if they don't take the step to notify Centrelink that their account balance has dropped. So we were talking with clients earlier today about the best way to go about letting Centrelink know. And in my opinion, given the current set of circumstances, by far and away the best way to let Centrelink know is to get hold of an electronic copy of a Centrelink schedule if you've got an allocated pension or if you've got shares directly, an electronic copy of your portfolio with the number of shares, and send it directly through to Centrelink through your MyGov account.
Okay.
So by doing that, you avoid having to go into a Centrelink office directly, which obviously very sensible under the current set of circumstances.
And can be very time-consuming, can't it?
Yeah.
To actually go into a Centrelink office, they're under enormous pressure at the moment. So you've got to say to yourself, this could well take at least a couple of hours before they can get to me and then hopefully solve whatever queries I might have.
So I know that there's a lot of people out there that don't consider themselves to be tech-savvy. Yeah. Or that might have had a go at updating things through MyGov in the past. Have a go again. See if you can get used to using MyGov because it's a very, it's a smarter way to go as far as updating Centrelink about your affairs. And even if you can get possibly a younger person, someone in your family to help you log on to MyGov and provide information that way because it is by far and away the best way to go.
This is from Elaine. She says, is it true that the Human Services Department have changed their name to something or other? Is that right?
Yeah, so Department of Human Services, if you were to Google Centrelink rates or something like that, find out how much you can get as an age pension, you'll no longer go through to the Department of Human Services. You'll go through to Services Australia, and you might be wondering what that's all about. That was a name change last year. Centrelink is still called Centrelink, but typically when you're looking up Centrelink-related government benefits and the like, you'll go through to Services Australia instead. Another thing that's changing just this week is a whole bunch of Centrelink payments are going to be changing their name. So people that are on a Newstart allowance, and that's a term that's been used a lot, but it'll be a term that won't be used at all in future, sickness allowance, widow allowance, partner allowance, wife pension, widow pension, there's a whole bunch of Centrelink payments that are going to be rolled into one new payment called the Job Seeker Payment. So we'll have to start getting used to this new terminology, because there's been a lot said about New Start Allowance of late, people wanting to, in particular, increase the rate of New Start Allowance, which hasn't been done for a long time. But now we'll be talking about a Job Seeker Payment instead. Right. New terminology to get used to.
We're talking to Lachlan Harvey and Sam Martin from Goldsborough Financial Services. Let's get to Adrian at Elizabeth, a question for the gentleman. Adrian, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Earlier on in the year, I'm on the pension. They dropped my pension by $24 because they said the share market had gone up. And I rang Nick Champion and said, now that our super and the share market's gone down, are they going to be as quick to give me my $24 back?
Yeah, I can answer that for you. The update process is systematic. So it may happen twice a year or four times a year, depending on the provider. It doesn't automatically update bank accounts. I believe some of the product providers that we used last updated for account-based pensions in February when the markets were at their peak. So if you want to wait 6 months with that current valuation, you can, or you can update it yourself manually in between times. And that's what I'd recommend you do.
All right. Adrian, solves the problem. Go on.
I don't know how to do that.
Adrian, if you have, is it an allocated pension or an account-based pension that you have with your investments, or are they just a share portfolio that you own directly?
My age pension.
Yeah, so your age pension is reduced because of your total level of assets. What sort of asset is it that causes you to receive less than the full pension?
Well, I've got superannuation. I lost when that subprime interest rate came in, my pension, my super started to go down. I asked the bank, Westpac, I said, you know, what's going on here? They said, hang on, it'll come back. Well, I lost a third of it then, and that's never come back. I'm a bit worried now they've got this coronavirus problem, that it's going to go down again and it'll never come back up again.
Yeah, well, it's likely to certainly be down at the moment. So what I would encourage you to do, and there's two types of superannuation funds, remember. There's the type that you put money into, and there's the type that you draw money out of. And the latter is usually called an account-based pension or an allocated pension. I'm thinking that might be what you have, Adrian, but if it is an allocated pension, your super fund?
Yes, I get a little bit out of the super each month, and I've got an age pension.
Okay, so if the super fund pays you on a monthly basis, that'll be what you've got. I think you'll find that is an allocated pension or an account-based pension. That's what I'm talking about there. Right. So the words that you need to use...
I'm talking about the age pension I get.
Yes, I understand. But your super fund, because you're drawing an income from that, you're drawing an income from your super, which if it pays you on a regular basis without you having to ring up and make a withdrawal, that'll be known as an allocated pension, not the age pension, and an allocated pension through your super fund. And you can call your super fund and ask them for, and this it's important to get the wording right, what you need from your super fund.
I'm not talking about the super fund. I'm talking about the age pension.
Adrian, I tell you what you've got to do. You've got to give the boys a ring off air and let them see if they can figure it out for you. But good luck with all of that. Dave at Tea Tree Gully. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, good day. How are you going? I hope my question's a little bit... more simple. I heard the boys talking about renaming for the different New Start and all that, and they're all going to be combined into one. I didn't hear anyone mention anything about the disability support pension. How would that work?
Disability support pension is not one of those payments that is being lumped into the new Job Seeker payment. That'll be its standalone benefit. So disability support pension has similar rules, similar payment amounts and assets test thresholds to the age pension itself. So there is no change that I'm aware of to the disability support pension. If you're on that now, you should continue to qualify.
All righty, Dave. Hope that solves the one for you. Up at Mount Barker, Jamie from up there has given us a ring. Hello, Jamie.
G'day, gentlemen. I'm just ringing to ask... about the disability support pension and the $750 that's coming up. Is it disability support pension receiving that?
It is definitely receiving that, and like everybody that is receiving some form of government benefit, who is going to receive the $750, it will come through automatically.
That's terrific. Thank you very much.
Well, that was a simple one. Let's go to Unley this time around. It's just on 10 minutes to two, talking to Lachlan Harvey and Sam Martin from Goldsborough Financial Services. And there's always questions, especially right now, about finances and how they're travelling. Dave, rather Ray, you're at Unley. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Great.
Look, my question's hopefully fairly simple. I thought I understood the stock market and money markets fairly well, but
didn't we all? It went a couple of weeks ago, right? We're all kind of thinking, "How good is this?" Yeah. Right.
But why is our dollar going down faster than any others? Like, I could understand that to deal with China, et cetera, but even against the euro and Scandinavia, you know, the dollar's just plummeting against those currencies, and that they're as much a diabolical as we are.
Australia's a smaller economy. We're treated more like an emerging market because of the majority of our exports are resources. And in times of crisis, a lot of money goes back to bigger economies. A lot of money goes back to the US in particular. They are the reserve currency, so our dollar does tend to underperform and go down, which can be a benefit. Can be a benefit to our economy as well.
You know what? It can also be a benefit to those people that have, let's say, they've got a superannuation fund and maybe, let's say, 20% of their entire superannuation assets are allocated towards overseas shares. Most of those overseas shares will be based in the US. So if the Aussie dollar drops against the US dollar, it acts as a little bit of a buffer against the falling share price. So the value of the asset falls, but in Aussie dollar terms, it doesn't fall as much. So that lowering of the Aussie dollar may actually benefit some people that hold assets overseas, particularly super funds.
Okay, Ray, thank you for the call. Let's go to, Graham. Graham, whereabouts are you? You're at Sturt. Good afternoon, Graham.
Yeah, how are you, Philco?
Well, thank you.
I've just got one simple question.
Yeah.
That $750 payment from the government for pensioners, now, if the husband and wife are both on the pension, do they receive $750 each, or is that between them?
No, it should be $750 per person.
So if it's a married couple, they'll probably get $1,500, is that right?
That's right. And I would encourage people to spend it wisely. For those people that can afford to spend it for the benefit of all Australians. Go out and spend it. That's certainly what you're being encouraged to do. For those people that are in a financial difficulty, don't spend it. Look after your own interests first. And that is that's something that I think that the government would also say. They want to try and encourage people to spend money for the benefit of the economy as a whole. But also, if people are in financial difficulty, then it's not going to make sense to spend it frivolously. We need to just make sure that we're looking after ourselves and protecting our own financial position.
Okay, Graham, good luck with that. Andrew at Tranmere, you've given us a call. I think it's again on the $750 stimulus that's coming your way. Andrew, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My question was, my wife's on an age pension. I'm a little bit younger, and I'm on Newstart, not quite full New Start because of certain assets I have, and I was wondering, do we both get
the $750? Yeah.
Yes, I believe that you will. You will both receive the $750, and so will recipients on the Commonwealth Seniors Health Card and other concession cards.
So just to paint the picture of what the Commonwealth Seniors Health Card is. So anyone that's getting a disability support payment or a New Start allowance or an age pension will get that payment. But people that are on a Commonwealth Seniors Health Card, they might not be getting a regular payment from the government, but they are holders of a particular card, and they will also classify as someone that will receive the $750 once-off payment.
Okay, Andrew. Righto, thank you for the call. Let's go to Sean this time at Enfield. Hello, Sean.
Yeah, g'day, cool, okay. I was just wondering, I'll receive that $750. What about your thing about buying Australian stocks at the moment? Would that be something that would be worth investing in?
If you believe they're going to go back up in the medium to long term and you don't need the money for the medium to long term, then that can certainly be a viable option. If you think the markets are going to go down further and you need the money soon, then that probably isn't an option.
Yeah, and I think in the spirit of the payment as well. Look, they certainly will, but not necessarily right at the moment. We don't know whether there's going to be more pain to come. Look, we have a lot of conversations with our clients, and most of our clients have investment portfolios of some kind, and there is a general sense out there at the moment that while everything that's going on at the moment is hugely concerning, there's a general sense that we are all in this together. I think it feels very different to the global financial crisis when there was the big banks and Wall Street to blame, greed and complex financial products. I think in this case, people feel like there's no one in particular to blame, and I think that a lot of people are holding tight with their share portfolios in the expectation that it won't happen overnight, but there will be a recovery at some stage.
All right, Sean, thank you for that. Gentleman from Ron at North Haven, I think you've answered Ron's email. He says, with the current sad state of the stock market, would this be the ideal time to invest in shares for, say 5 years, because you'd be buying them at a much lower price than you would have, say, 3 months ago? Well, I think you've already covered that question, gentlemen. Look, before you go, from Colin sends us an email. He said, are all life insurance policies, do they have a non-payment clause regarding pandemics?
Hey, there's been a lot said about travel insurance policies not paying out because there's an exclusion in place.
Yeah.
And the exclusion for travel insurance is for pandemics. So once they call it a pandemic, then you don't get paid your travel insurance. But life insurance, totally different. So every life insurer that we deal with, so all of these policies that you have to go through the process of being underwritten for, they do not have any exclusion for coronavirus or any other pandemic. So if you have a death policy, a disability policy, or an income protection policy, then it's not going to, they're not going to turn around and say, no, we're not going to pay you just because one of those events occurred because of coronavirus. The only caveat to that is now that there's this level 4 travel ban on other countries, that if you experience an event overseas, a death, a disability, or something that requires income protection, you may not be covered by virtue of the fact that it's in a country that the Australian government doesn't want you to travel to.
Okay,
that's probably the only catch.
Gee, there's a million things to be checked. Gentlemen, before you go, it's 3 minutes to two. Ken, you're at Echunga. We'll get to you very quickly.
Thank you.
Hello, Ken.
Very quick. It's regarding deeming rate. I would just like to confirm, if you would kindly inform me, what is the current deeming rate they use now to work out your income on your financial assets? Because I understand that the deeming rate is a lot higher than what the bank rate is. So in other words, if you're earning whatever you earn from the bank is your income, but the deeming rate is a lot higher than what you're actually getting.
Yeah, there's two deeming rates. There's a lower and a higher one, and depends on whether you're a single or a couple and the amount of money that you've got. But in short, the deeming rates at the moment are 1% at the lower rate and 3% at the higher rate, although there was an announcement just, I think, last week that those rates are due to change. The sooner that happens, the better. So the new rates will be 0.5% and 2.5% being the upper rate. But I believe that that's not going to kick in until May 2020. So we're a couple of months away from that.
It's a couple of minutes to two. The Reserve Bank will announce their decision in about 2 minutes' time. Tina at Mitchell Park, our final question for the gentleman. Tina, hello.
Hi. I was thinking about buying some cruise ship shares because they're really low at the moment. I'm the off chance that they will pick up. So how do you go about buying shares? I've got shares in my super, but obviously I don't buy them.
If you want to specifically buy a company, I would recommend you go through a stockbroker and speak to a stockbroker, and they'll have some information behind the company that you're talking about.
Oh, Tina, you're a brave lady going to buy shares in a cruise company. Gentlemen, thanks for the time this afternoon. It's very quickly, your prediction. What's going to happen in about a minute and a half's time when the Reserve Bank of Australia announces the decision? What do you reckon?
We're both jumping to answer that question, Phil. I think there's no question that they will look to cut rates.
Oh, wow.
I think that they will go to zero 0.25 official rate, and they have stated before that that is probably as low as they'll go. But look, anything can happen. These are very unusual times, and the Reserve Bank will be working hard to make sure that our economic system stays afloat and that markets remain active and liquid. That's their main goal at the moment.
Good on you, fellas. Lachlan Harvey and Sam Martin from Goldsborough Financial Services.